You're tuned to the Curb Your Dogma podcast. And now, here is your dangerously underqualified host, Dr. Maury Robertson.
Most people these days feel like their lives are just boring. They don't matter. They just blend into the crowd. There's nothing special about them. This is nonsense. And we'll take on this nonsense in today's episode. Habit number 6, shine. Welcome to Curb Your Dogma, where we leave the beaten path to follow Christ. This week is pure fun, because shining is not a chore. It's not a task on your to-do list. It's not cranking up a factory to produce something for God. It's more like breaking up a log jam to let a river flow. The first 5 habits are all about breaking up that log jam. When you practice them, it's impossible not to shine. Let's quickly review. Habit number 1. Make brokenness a door. You admitted your need. You didn't pretend all is well. You declared bankruptcy and threw yourself on God's mercy. Habit number 2, trust Jesus. You took Jesus by the hand and you followed. Still, you have a lot of questions. You might be suffering. You may even be angry. It's okay. You feel Christ's presence. Slowly, you're learning to trust. Habit number 3, hope in God. Where is Jesus taking you? In a word, life, what he called the kingdom of God. God's life is bigger than death, but you don't have to wait until you die to enter it. You don't deny the groaning of this world, but you see hope poking through everywhere. Habit number 4, let God love you. You discovered something wonderful. God loves you and is working in all things for your good. God is making you into something wonderful, your true self. Habit number 5, love everyone. You experienced God's love changing the way that you think of others. Just as God is redeeming you, God is at work in everything he has made. You feel connected with other people, in fact, with every created thing, because the entire universe is part of the same great story, being made new by the same love. Which brings us to this week, habit number 6, shine. You're being made new. This is not something up in the clouds. It's a way of life that's happening to you right now. You're learning to dance by heaven's tune. You delight in the unique expression of God's glory that you are. You shine. Or as Jesus put it, you're the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. Now, our world is actually pretty good at convincing us there's nothing special about us. You may feel about as exciting as oatmeal. So today I want to give you 7 ways to polish your shine, to allow what God is and what he wants to do in you to come through your life. The first way to polish your shine is to embrace your purpose. My favorite thing in the whole world is to put on my backpack and head into the wilderness for a week of solitude. The further I wander off the trail, the better I like it. It's like I'm getting in on a secret. I see alpine lakes that few eyes ever have. I soak up shooting stars and fiery red sunsets. I stop to admire wildflowers. It's like I have a free ticket to the greatest show on earth, and I got the whole theater to myself. But I find myself asking when I'm out there, what kind of a lunatic would put on such a grand show knowing that most of it will never be seen by anyone? I mean, would I devote my entire life to a work of art and then not tell anyone about it? Why the wasted glory? It's not a waste. We wrongly think that this world exists solely for human enjoyment and that the human audience is the only audience. We forget ourselves. Our world was made by the love of God, for the joy of God. The fact that human beings can share this joy doesn't make human joy essential, or even human sight essential. God's joy is what makes things have their value. So what about you? Does anyone take delight in you? Does anyone even see you? And if no one notices you, do you even exist? Are you like that tree, you know, if it falls in the forest and no one hears the sound, did it even make a sound? I mean, that may be how you feel. Like, here I am in this world, no one sees, I'm not even sure I exist. Well, I want to say to you, you emphatically exist. Yes, you exist. You exist as a unique expression of God's glory, made by the love of God for the joy of God. Even if every other human being ignores you, God doesn't. When you express yourself as unfiltered you, you feel God's pleasure in you. Because like the high mountain lake, like the wildflower, like the mountain peak, you know why you exist. You are an expression of the glory of God. God made you to love you and reveal himself through you. When you feel this, you know the meaning of your life, though you might not be able to put this into words. You'll feel it. A second way to polish your shine is to point to sparkly things. This is effortless. This is satisfying. And best of all, it takes nothing. No energy. You don't have to do anything except point. See, you shine when you point at other shiny things. With nature, it's hard not to do this. If you're driving down the road and you spot a bear, I guarantee you're going to blurt out, "Look!" If the sunset lights up the sky with purple and orange, you're going to point and insist that everyone looks. Why? Why is it so important to share these things with other people? Because when we experience the glory of God together, we know the meaning of life. Sadly, when it comes to other people, this isn't so automatic. We think God's appreciation is like human appreciation, limited. We're jealous for attention, so we compete with each other for it. We hesitate to point out each other's strengths for fear it will expose our own weaknesses. There's only so much room on the human stage, so we're afraid we might lose our place in the limelight. But God's stage doesn't work that way. I've always loved this silly song. I know it's a little like Barney or Teletubbies or something, but all God's children got a place in the choir. Some sing low, some sing higher, some sing out loud on a telephone wire. Others clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Okay, silly. But I love it because it expresses the truth. When you call attention to the glory of another human being, you glorify God and make them sparkle even brighter. You make them glad to be who they are. They feel the joy of God, and you feel it with them. That might just be the nicest thing you can do for another human being. A third way to polish your shine is to reject toxic cultural messages. It's almost like our world is intentionally designed to take the snap out of your step. Here are five toxic messages that you must totally reject. Toxic message number one, there's nothing special about you. Have you ever tried to publish a book? I have. There's no market for me. Ever try to learn an instrument or build a website or crochet or play football or do practically anything? Probably you found out you're just average. Maybe someone even said, "Don't quit your day job." Ouch! One thing that's great about technology is that traditional gatekeepers, the ones who tend to tell us we're just average, they're being overthrown. And in their place, a sea of indie movements is rising. We have a chance to stop competing with each other and recognize that everyone is exceptional at something. Our dim-witted culture just doesn't have enough categories. Toxic message number two, trinkets are your life. See, what matters most is your house or your car or your clothes or your status, acquiring things. Advertising makes you feel 1,000 hunger pains, each of which can be satisfied with a credit card. But your deepest needs can't be met with a credit card. As Jesus put it, not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions. You're only rich when you discover that you are safe, secure, loved, treasured, and that's what you find in God. Toxic message number three, you're too busy. I remember when I was in junior high, they showed these movies about how all these time-saving devices would soon reduce the work week to 2, maybe 3 days. And I thought, wow, what that's going to be like, you know, when I'm 20 or 30, and what will I do with all my time? Well, the optimistic movie makers forgot to factor in greed. Because, see, once you buy into the lie that life consists of possessions, you have to keep adding to the pile. The more stuff, the more life. If you're not feeling alive, you just need more stuff. This keeps you on the never-ending treadmill of acquisition. And of course, once you buy the stuff, you have to store it and maintain it and pay for it. Our possessions possess us. They keep us busy 7 days a week and leave us no time to be ourselves, to truly shine. We're too busy getting stuff to add to our pile. Toxic message number four, life is competition. American Idol is the singing version of Survivor. Each week, we tune in to see who will get kicked off the stage. We even get to participate in rejecting the losers by casting our votes. There's room on the stage for only one. See, I have an idea for a show. Start with a dozen random people. Just go out and pick them off the street. Put them on the stage and spend the entire season discovering each one's unique glory. Then, at the end of the season, let each one of them do their thing. Now that would be a show. Toxic message number five. Machines are better than people. As Julie and I drive across the country, we cringe at the mind-numbing sameness of American cities. Chain stores have wrapped us in chains. And I can't help but contrast the magic of La Cita, the Mexican restaurant my grandparents started along Route 66, with the blandness of Taco Bell. I guess it makes sense, though. If you're a cog in a machine, you eat machine food. But God glories in diversity. Not machines, not sameness, not factories, nature. And nature is unique. So those are five toxic messages that have to be rejected. Let's move on to the fourth way to polish your shine. Shine now. If you're stuck in a job or a role that you despise, you might think it's impossible for your life to have purpose, or that your purpose must be postponed until your life changes somehow. And so eventually you become this tragic figure, crushed by fate, a victim of circumstance. You mope around counting the days until retirement. Eventually you give up and accept that your life is meaningless. Nonsense. No matter how dull your job, no matter how stupid your boss, no matter how exasperating your role, you can shine right now without changing a thing. As you live by the habits of wholeness, you start to experience a love that transforms you from the inside out. The people, remember, that Jesus spoke to and called the light of the world, they were peasants, stuck in a life far more constricting than the ones we complain about. So how can you shine in this world if you're stuck? By loving. Because love can be expressed in any situation. And when you love, you shine. It doesn't matter if you're a cashier at McDonald's or an astronaut. When you love, you shine, and nothing has the power to stop you from loving. No stupid boss, no mindless job, no screaming kids, no boring commute, nothing. Nothing can stop you from the power of loving right now, wherever you are. A fifth way to polish your shine is to shine like no other. We as human beings have a lot in common. We're all made and loved by God. We all sin. We're all being redeemed. We all have a lot to learn. We all love to laugh. We all feel pain. We all need to grow. We're all insecure. We all appreciate beauty. We all want to be happy. But for all the things we have in common, we are each one of a kind. No one sees this world with your eyes. No one has your personality. No one has your gifts. No one even has your physical form. Your experience of God's love and your story of redemption are unique. We spend way too much time trying to be normal, whatever normal even means. I read a great book on this called The End of Average by Todd Rose. It destroys the myth that there is such a thing as a normal person. That really was a product of the Industrial Revolution. It's worth reading. It's a great book. Rose makes it very clear. Every last one of us is abnormal. And this needs to be celebrated. You were created to display God's glory in a way that no one else can. What a waste to spend your life trying to be someone else. When you look at others and covet their gifts, remember, there's one thing they could never be, no matter how hard they tried, not even if they dedicated the rest of their lives to it. No one else can be you. But who are you? You're probably lousy at answering that question. Our world has taught us it doesn't matter who you are. It only matters how you make money. And you make money by asking what society needs, not by asking who you are. I put a list of questions in the show notes to help you break through your stagnant thinking and really start to see who you are. But I gotta say, prayer is more important than my list of questions, because your deepest knowing who you are comes from within. You know, here's how it happened to me. I was sitting in my big leather chair. I was crying out to God. I was frustrated. And I was saying, God, who am I? What do you want me to do with my life? And as clearly as I've ever heard God say anything, God told me, what do you want to do? And that question honestly surprised me, because I assumed that what I wanted to do was irrelevant. But I went ahead and I told God what I really wanted to do. And God said, do that. This experience is not unique. What you most deeply want to do is very likely what you are meant to do. Because see, along with the ability to do things, God gives the desire to do them. God is not shy about telling us who we are. It's more likely that we're not listening, or we're afraid. We say we're confused, but actually we're scared, because being ourselves takes courage. I found Steve Jobs' commencement address to be a great antidote to fear. In fact, I read this regularly to remind me to be courageous and pursue what really matters. I just want to read for you four paragraphs from it. He said, "Don't lose faith. I'm convinced that the only thing that kept me going was that I loved what I did. You've got to find what you love. And that's as true for your work as it is for your lovers. Your work is going to fill a large part of your life, and the only way to be truly satisfied is to do what you believe is great work. And the only way to do great work is to love what you do. If you haven't found it yet, keep looking. Don't settle. As with all matters of the heart, you'll know when you find it. And like any great relationship, it just gets better and better as the years roll on. So keep looking until you find it. Don't settle." He goes on to say, "For the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I'm about to do today? And whenever the answer has been no for too many days in a row, I know I need to change something. Remembering that I'll be dead soon is the most important tool I've ever encountered to help me make the big choices in life. Because almost everything, all external expectations, all pride, all fear of embarrassment or failure, these things just fall away in the face of death, leaving only what is truly important. Remembering that you are going to die is the best way I know to avoid the trap of thinking you have something to lose. You are already naked. There is no reason not to follow your heart." And then the final paragraph here, he says, "Your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most importantly, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. Everything else is secondary." You can find a link to the full speech in the show notes. It's definitely worth watching. But on to the sixth way to polish your shine, which is make the necessary adjustments. When you discover who you are, you may see that changes in your life are in order. For me, this meant a crazy leap. I left a great church and seminary. I traded security and prestige for uncertainty and obscurity. Why'd I do that? Because my life no longer fit. My family and friends wondered if I'd lost my mind. Leaving a successful career in your mid-50s to start over from scratch doesn't make much sense. Hopefully, your transition won't be so drastic. Maybe you're one of the lucky ones whose way of making a living and whose purpose overlap. That's great, because when doing what fits you also pays the bills, there's no tension. And that's the bullseye. But most people are not so lucky. A recent Gallup poll revealed that only 13% of people like their jobs. That means 87% of us don't. If you're part of that majority, what are you supposed to do? What if your family depends on your income? Well, here you've got to let love be your guide. But don't fall for the lie that expressing yourself in this world is an all-or-nothing proposition. Love may dictate that you remain at a dull job for a while, but don't forget two things. The first is, you can shine anywhere. Because remember, the greatest way that we shine in this world is by loving other people. And you can do that in any situation. Go back and review number four above. But the second thing I want to suggest to you is that even if you can't go all in right now, you can start. you can take little steps in the right direction. Take piano lessons. Get up an hour early each morning to write. Go on a backpack trip. Study birds. Take up astronomy. Sign up for dance lessons. Start a blog. Whatever it is, do your thing. If you can't make your life your thing, work your thing into your life. In fact, I gotta say that again because I like it. If you can't make your life your thing, work your thing into your life. As you do this, you may find that your thing takes on a life of its own. It might even get to the point that it can become your full-time job. Bullseye! The most important thing is not to bury your passion, to fail to be yourself. Don't get up each morning to do a job you can barely stand and let that become your entire life. Don't come home and escape to the television and go to bed and wake up tomorrow to do the same. Break the cycle, even if it's like in the Shawshank Redemption, and it takes years. Prison is a lot more endurable if you spend a little time every day sawing away at the bars. Probably you'll face a choice like mine, though I hope not so extreme. But probably it'll boil down to this. You can have a dull and safe life, or you can have an exciting, dangerous life. The choice is yours. But as you consider this, remember, the odds of you dying are 100% either way. Why not go out with a bang? And the final suggestion for polishing your shine is play to the audience of one. Shine comes toward the end of the habits of wholeness for a reason. When you shine, it's the result of being in a loving relationship with God. You don't shine to earn God's approval. You shine because you have it. You don't shine to make God love you. You shine because God does love you. You don't shine to get anything. You shine because all things are yours. Light and love beam down from heaven on you and through you. It feels great, and it's on the house. If you play to this fallen world, you are guaranteed frustration. The stage is crowded. There are only a few winners, so people are stingy with their approval. It's survival of the fittest. In all likelihood, you won't be one of the fittest. You'll be voted off the island. You will never be free until you stop playing to the crowd and learn to play for the audience of one. When you do this, you will express yourself for the sheer joy of it, not for any reaction from the crowd. Jesus is our example here. He went to the cross alone. There wasn't even a spattering of applause. His enemies gloated. His friends deserted. His mother grieved. No one understood. Jesus died to the sounds of boos and hisses. But Jesus was used to ignoring the crowd. One minute they wanted to make him king, the next minute they wanted him dead. Jesus found approval and acceptance from a different source. This explains how he was able to go to the cross for the joy of it, despising the shame, as Hebrews tells us. The joy of living comes when you express who you are without the slightest regard for what other people think. Human applause turns life into competition and leads you astray. In fact, when you begin to shine and really be yourself, expect resistance. If no one's laughed at you lately, if no one's told you you look ridiculous, you're probably holding back. When you play to the audience of one, you won't care what other people think. You're not putting on a show. You're swimming in the glory of God. Now, next week, we come to the final habit of wholeness, rest. And we'll learn that all along, this is not something we have been doing. It's something God has been doing in us. And it's profoundly relaxing and restful. The odor given off by our lives is not the sweat of the gym. It's the sweet smell of the orchard, because it is God who is at work in us to will and to work for His good pleasure. We'll explore this in next week's episode of Curb Your Dogma. See you then.
You can find a blog on today's topic along with the show notes at anchorpoint.org. Curb Your Dogma is supported by the generosity of its listeners. To make a donation, go to anchorpoint.org and click support.